Wow.
We're just having too much fun, huh?
Yeah, really.
Doing a bunch of suffering, doing a bunch of seeking, eating pretzels. Come on. You can't get any better than this. It's real hard to come up with a context that you can just rely on. But that's part of the fun of it, the challenge and the difficulty. So this guy that Levy is his name.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote an interesting book about using George Bush as a leaping off point for just how neurotic and sadistic and narcissistic, the entire culture has become. And of course, Terrence McKenna was always so funny and right on when he would speak about that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's like this Watiko thing. Have you heard, this term? It's a Native American term, Watiko. He's, so Watiko is, think of it as kind of an elemental, an elemental companion of consciousness that if not outed through shining a light on it, its inertia is deteriorating. Right? So the idea, and even Paul has, sometimes referred to, many times often referred to, addiction and the routine of selfing as a parasite.
Yeah.
So
right.
Shadow.
Yes. Yeah. And it's funny, even Lisa Cairns today on that talk with people was talking about consciousness and the notion of I am as this, kind of in the same vein without using the term, this Watiko thing of, right, a consciousness that insists on a separate self, individuated in a body, right, apart from and at odds with, competitive with, right, predatory toward, right, the environment that it's living in. So I think one of the questioners said, well, do you think this awakening thing is really catching on, or is it just, hi, come on in if you're coming to be with us?
Going too late.
yeah, you're too late.
Do you want a chair? There's
chairs in there. On the last floor, and
I'm
going to
lay down.
Okay.
Lay down, yeah. Snoring's good too. Yeah. No problem.
Thank you.
That.
I was up here. Oh, there I am.
Mm-hmm.
Is this for me?
Yes.
Yep, it is.
Yeah. We knew you were coming. We put that out for you.
I knew I was coming.
It was real interesting to see this, these kind of themes. It's like they roll through the, call it collective unconscious or more thickly resonant field, and all of a sudden you hear something, and then it's over here, and then it's over here, and this person's talking about it, and you're like, woo. It doesn't make it true. It's just kind of a serendipity.
It reverberates everywhere. I mean, it's like that for everything, it seems like.
I think so. Yeah, really. SpongeBob SquarePants. Just goes through the collective unconscious. But you look at... I don't know if Terrence McKenna ever kind of penetrated his own intelligence and his own creativity and his own wonder field, even with the use of all the drugs that he did, his message never kind of leaned in the direction of what you'd call, classic Hindu or Buddhist or non-dual
right.
Freedom from self. He remained somewhat in the field of cultural relevance,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
Not to get caught up in the culture, but he was, so deliciously evocative when it came to making art and, dreaming a new dream. And this fellow, Levy, when this George Bush thing and this Watiko thing, right, is of that same kind of nature. It's like looking at the parasitic nature of consciousness gone awry, consciousness having made a crappy left-hand turn into hell. and seeing that reflected, you know, throughout the geopolitical atmosphere. And so recognizing that as a crisis from the point of view of whom? Well, you know, humans, right? Survival of the species, dignity of the species. So that's seen as a crisis, and so this Watiko becomes a parasite, and our job then is to out-dream it, right? Which is, you know, like what this is about. Even though I don't like to emphasize the notion of some kind of elemental or a parasite or something, because from a you could say a broader or more exotic point of view, it's like, what the fuck? Species come and go. Everything comes and goes. And Lisa, interestingly, was saying the same thing. She said, as Lisa, the person, right, who eats when she's hungry and makes love with her boyfriend and does whatever she does, she feels like she's got, you know, as vested an interest as in anybody, as from the point of view of the species being sustaining and living in a dignified manner and persisting, continuing, and thriving. But she said from the vantage point of the revelation that there's no person here, that this is just doing itself, you know, wah, tilt. So it's just, it's real interesting, you know, I mean, in the culture, certainly in the culture of, you know, seeking, or the culture of, hopefully, in the culture of Buddhist insight or Hindu insight or non-dual insight, we are changing the field of our own depth and quality of inquiry, because the vocabulary that we're using and the frequency of meetings happening all over the world is, you know, shifting the dynamic of what you might call a collective unconsciousness or collective consciousness. Yeah, bringing, you know, an interest in revelation into the conversation, like at the supermarket, at the bank, you know, here at, you know, Pebble Hill, which is interesting. It's like, for me, that's definitely a way of turning one's back on the pressure of a sick culture and hanging out with each other or with oneself in, right, in as unfettered a creative manner as possible. Yeah, that's the revolution. The revolution is not necessarily taking up weapons, though shit, that could happen, you know, any day. Most likely the police will be coming after us, not the other way around. But the other revolution is just this. It's just now that this is the creative event. It doesn't really leave anything in its wake. But you could say our job or our privilege, our, you know, the great invitation as whatever a human being is or isn't, is to dream out loud, is to dream in situ, is to have the most fun, right? The most nourishment, the most rewarding ascension, the most rewarding, call it, you know, non-dual encounter here, casually, just in your present experience. That is the revolution.
Hasn't it always been?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sure. Yes.
So it's not new.
No, nothing. Nothing's new. But then again, nothing ever happened before, so it's all new.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's not new from the point of view that you and I can with great, you know, ease and or letters, scholarly letters or otherwise, look back over the past of human endeavor and human thought and, right, all the sciences and all the arts and all the beautiful and horrible things that have happened and say, well, this moment is, it's not new. I get that. But at the same time, were there any time, this never happened before. This is brand new. Every moment is an absolute explosion of unconditioned revelation, just as it is.
I mean, words fail in that case. And so new, as opposed to not new, doesn't even really make sense.
Then you can go there as well. Yeah, you can certainly go there as well, right? New and old suggests something happened before now, but the odd revelation, I mean, I don't mean to use the word too boldly, an odd observation, forget about revelation, it's too, you know, woo. How about an odd observation is, this moment never happened before. This is absolutely brand new. And this moment is in some regard, if not entirely, completely unconditioned. So it doesn't really matter what might have happened in the imagination of the past. That's how I say we untether from the culture. We unhinge, we unlink from the culture because the culture makes it look like you have a past. And that then the best that you should do is get an education and then a job. And then, you know, shut the F up and pay taxes. And then make sure your kids do the same. But breaking out of that...
paradigm.
Yes, breaking out of paradigm, breaking out of that mold, breaking out of the conditioning is... right here.
It's at any time, in any place.
Since there's no time and no place, yeah, it's on tap. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. On any time and any place means just about all the time everywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all we have, actually. I mean, breaking out of the cultural mold is the recognition, the observation that this is brand new. That the consciousness is truly unfettered. That we're not bound by time, by space, by creaturehood.
Some would say that we're at a crossroads as humanity and having a choice of total implosion or total ascension and evolution.
No question. And I'm sure we could find evidence for that happening since, you know, cave person started building fires. You know, Bill, we're at a crossroads. But, Jerry, we just discovered fire. Yeah, I know, but I got a feeling. You know what I mean?
But we have the technology to truly implode at this point.
Yes, fairly. Yeah, absolutely. Well put. Yeah. Well, the implosion, you could argue, is also well underway. I mean, Fukushima, you know, is killing Japan as we speak. And who knows what it's doing to the Pacific Ocean.
Fukushima,
the tsunami, and the destruction of the nuclear reactors in Japan.
Oh,
okay. Oh yeah, okay. Easily forgotten. But the cancer rate of Japanese kids is skyrocketing out of control, much faster and much worse than they had ever predicted. And the government wants you to believe that, oh, it's just because we're measuring more. So this threshold that we're referring to, the implosion, mm-hmm. is at hand, kind mm-hmm. sir.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the people that know climate are like, well, we've kind of given up on the global warming thing because it's irreversible.
Well, as eternal beings,
yes,
we are, and incarnated in this moment in time of existence,
uh-huh.
More than likely we've all seen this happen already. Before.
Well, yeah, a friend of ours the other day.
A long time. I mean, we're just doing it again, I think.
It's
a free will to experience it differently.
Yes, why not? Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's as plausible a philosophical take as any, of course. I mean, you can't really refute it, but then again, you can't really prove it. But it's delicious poetry, so I'm down. I'm in, you know.
Probably in other places, in the universe as well.
Here's a funny thing.
In other life forms. I'm just throwing it out.
Yeah, no, again, it's, you know, it's robust. It's robust philosophical poetry. Yes. I mean, there is no universe. There are no other forms. There are no beings. There's never been an extinction event. Nothing has ever happened. And whatever that happens to us will be just as easily forgotten as if it had never happened. Even though to the, you know, to the mind that stitches experience together. Ah!
Because
we're at a crossroads.
Linear time doesn't exist.
Okay. Well, non-linear time doesn't exist. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's too strange. I mean, our delight, our friendship, our affection is really, I would say, about meeting each other, hanging out with each other, and just absolutely going beyond the presumption of any opposites at all. Here this is. Did it come from somewhere? Fuck no. Is it going anywhere? Not on your life. Is it in a crisis? Sure. Is it in a crisis? How could it be? Fair enough. How could it not be? Yeah. So, you know, to reach a conclusion, even a temporary one, even a non-threatening one, right, is like, okay, Fantastic, right? Everything is like, absolutely. Because it's non-binding.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So if it's non-binding.
Non-attachment.
Then, of course, there would be non-attachment because there'd be nothing, no agent to get all whipped up about attachment or even non-attachment. Sometimes we think, and this is a common error in Buddhist and similar thinking, that I'm the creature, I'm suffering, the Buddha said because of attraction and aversion, attachment. So, well, that's easy. I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done with attachment. Now I'm good. And I don't know if it could be that easy. Let's hope so.
Yeah.
I don't know if it quite works that way.
I don't know either.
Yeah. So the myth of the agency as self suffering from behavioral...
separation?
Say again?
Separation.
Yes, behavioral separation looks like that could be the cause of suffering. But it turns out that's not the case.
Yeah.
It's just too... the Buddha... I mean, I think his intentions were good, but I think his teachings kind of suck in many ways, at least the way that they've been interpreted by, we consumerist, right, Westerners.
Well, whose teachings haven't been colored by the consumerism?
You won't find one. I mean, maybe Taoism, you could say is kind of pure because it's so, lighthearted.
But most of the teachings from within.
Yeah, but we hang out and we eat pretzels and we talk with each other. Psh, patina. Yeah, it's unavoidable. And yet, even though it may be unavoidable or fractured in that way, we might be able to, or should be able to, I hope we're able to, enjoy each other without the implication, right, of anything. Yeah, and, I'll drink tea to that.
Oh, where am I? I'm sorry. I came into the restroom.
Yeah.
Really?
You have the great outdoors.
The great outdoors or downstairs. There's two restrooms.
I'm enjoying the conversation, and it's a pleasure to be with you,
Angie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I'm not really sure what I walked into.
I don't think we can help you with that. We can't help you with that. Well,
did you literally, you were driving by and you thought, I think I'll stop in and use the restroom?
Well, I had two meetups that got canceled, and I didn't feel like going home. And I was like, oh, Pebble Hill, I wonder if something's happening there. And I really got to go potty. So I went to the other Red Barn, I went potty there, and then I said, oh, I see some cars, so something might be happening. So
yeah,
I wandered up here, and I was like, oh, good, people. I could chat.
This is the night sky song.
Yeah, that helps.
Now you have a title.
We're having a conversation on Thursday evening. Is that what it is?
We meet four times a week, and it's typically just an open-ended. Yeah, mm-hmm. We do. We meet four times a week.
Wow.
And Thursdays we meet.
Other people.
Yeah, it's kind of like a pickup game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad I wandered in.
Rock on.
Yeah. Divine timing. No coincidences.
That's what they say.
Yeah, I believe that.
Well, you're the proof of it.
So we are the stories we tell ourselves, right?
Yes. We have those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's tonight's topic?
Sorry to laugh. But,
there's
no such thing. No.
Well, the topic is, in a sense, always the same, but curiously, always a little bit different, right?
No thanks.
The topic, you could say, is always the same in that here's consciousness, have at it. Not to be glib, but that's one way to look at it.
Now, I'll throw something out to the group.
Yeah.
Recently, I came to a conclusion, a thought process of soul, spirit being eternal and incarnated temporarily in this vessel.
Yes.
And There's a lot of talk of ascension, and I go to a lot of spiritual meetings all over the place for the last 20 years.
Nice.
A lot of different theories about, you know, raising your vibration to heal, et cetera.
Yes, sir.
You know.
Yes.
And trying to get to the fifth dimension, because we're in a three-dimensional reality in this illusion.
You can find those metaphors very easily, yes.
And I was under the impression now that this is the final stint, not the beginning. In other words, we were already there at source.
And sure.
We're graduating down. We don't graduate up.
Ah, nice. Well put. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because this is the most difficult, dense environment to incarnate in.
Yes.
Of the things that you said earlier.
Yes. Yeah.
To remember who we are in it.
Yep.
And to be pure unconditional love.
Yes.
And it is really
yes.
The partial rationale.
The partial rationale, yeah.
Okay.
I've always thought unconditional love was a partial rationale myself.
Well, nothing's 100% certain, because the less I know, the less.
Yeah, really. Yeah, that's right.
You know,
the happier you get, the less you know.
Yeah. So, that's my thought. And this thing of ascension isn't necessarily going anywhere or raising anything. It's just a matter of being in touch with the truth of who we really are and bringing that vibration to this density.
Fair enough. Yes. Again, you know, these.
It's about integration of higher self and soul, as opposed to being that higher self or soul. Because we don't want to escape this reality, because we're here and we built it for a reason. And it is a reality as it exists in its form.
Yes.
I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah. Yeah. See,
what
I mean,
think?
Well, I mean, it's more fun for me, with all due respect to a very well elocuted scenario, that this has no implication. So why create a source or an ascension or a beginning or a later or a fifth dimension, as opposed to a third dimension or density or lack of density or a place that we've
or
been
integration or ascension
or anything like that? That's right. Here this is. Let's say we don't know what it is.
Yes, it is.
Okay, fair enough. Here,
like Eckhart Tolle now.
Okay, now's good, but it gets curiouser, more curious than that, because it's now, but now doesn't last, does it?
Well,
nor does now have any duration.
Let's take a grander perspective then, and look at meaning behind it all.
Yes.
And there is always meaning to all things, if so perceived by our limited intellect.
Yes.
And I would say that there is always healing or always growth. Or always evolution that can occur as the trilogy of who you are now.
Again,
you know?
Beautifully spoken, but you're just putting trinkets on a Christmas tree. None of those things really mean
relevant.
Anything. Yeah, they're absolutely relevant from one point of view.
From a perspective based on a lot of experience.
That's what they do. They elicit.
Yeah.
By using the vocabulary and the intentionality of the vocabulary and the implication of the vocabulary, you're eliciting or weaving a certain kind of reality in which you imagine that you and or your friends, if let's say we're your friends, are participating in.
Mm.
But you can see it's contrived.
And no matter what you do, I mean,
you
cast words and meaning on things.
Yeah.
But you're just scribbling in the circle. You know what I mean? It's just. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it.
I mean,
we do it all the time. I do it all the time.
Yeah.
It's just that that's not necessarily getting you anywhere. Having a belief system, a strong belief system, or any kind of belief system, you know, it's like everybody has a belief system. You know, is it necessary to get it as pure as possible? Who knows what that is, you know? I mean,
well,
the point
is
there's an exit ramp.
What is the meaning of it all, then? Why are we here?
It's just more playing around.
You think?
Yeah.
Or is there a true basis for it? Is there a true...
But nothing that we could ever define or put into words.
Why does it need a meaning?
I don't think it means. It just is. And I think there is one. And I think it's... And this is, again, my perception based on...
Absolutely.
Yes,
of course.
But my conclusion... is that we're here to grow love organically so we can experience it over again.
Sweet. Well done.
Yeah. Or maybe not.
Well, okay. It could be, maybe not. But not a maybe not that refutes the maybe. Mm-hmm. Right? If we were to deny what appears to be experiencing, right, corporeal,
right,
incarceration or incorporeal inhabitation. I like to call it incarceration, but that's a judgment. That's a judgment. So if we were to refute what appears to be experiencing and the memory and functionality or dysfunctionality of my life, it would be a little bit glib because here this is, whatever it is. But it might be fun to see that even though this is what it appears to be or what it is, whatever it is, if you listen real closely to it, it's not saying a word. It's not offering a genesis, a beginning, a motive, a reason, a meaning. Right? Mind is doing that. Association is doing that.
Yeah.
This isn't saying a word.
Well, meditation, going into a deeper alpha state or in a deeper state,
yes,
sort of connecting to higher self or as high up as...
Well, you see, again, you're building, you're right, you're building comparative, call them realms
so
to occupy.
Interpretation,
yes,
on mind.
Yeah, that's right.
Because we're all one, we're all equal, and it's all...
Too late again. One and equal, too late. You've said too much. Mm-hmm. We're not one. Who's... If we were one, we wouldn't say we.
Wow.
We is a myth. One is a myth. Neither one of them is a place that you can hang your hat.
From the same source.
Source is this.
From the same place.
Well, same source, place. What have we ever had? We've had this. Whether we can view it telescopically or microscopically.
What about duality, negative and positive energy?
What about it? Well, what about
it? Exists?
Well,
or is that a perception as well?
Well, genocides occur. You feel bad about them or good about them?
Oh, pretty bad.
Oh, there you go. There's your duality. Okay, so, yeah, there it is. No argument. No quarrel.
So what do you do?
What have you ever done?
Enjoy the shit out of life.
Rock on. Don't stop that shit. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You know.
Well,
aside from philosophical conclusions or not,
yeah,
it's not that relevant to how I lived.
Yeah. Being.
You know what I mean?
Let's call being source. Let's call source being. That would be exactly what this is. What do? Whatever this feels like doing. You don't have any choice about it anyway.
Well, what do you think happens when you kick it? Like the body is no more. The mind is no more. So your essence, your energy, your soul.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Of course, it's a very tricky, though fun, conversation. because so far, you know, if we're referring to ourselves in a conversation, we don't know yet.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We don't know yet because apparently we're still whatever alive is called. You may have reflections, confident reflections of prior lives. You may have confident reflections of a source that is not perturbed by incarnation or the cessation of that incarnation.
Right.
And so no matter where you might go with the marvelous texture of your experience is how you might respond to that
question.
Wonderful question. Yeah.
So what about you?
Me?
Yeah.
I don't have any idea. I mean, I can say shit that I've heard other people say, or that I imagine is maybe my take on the situation.
Right.
But it would be like, kind of like, I don't know really what this is. So I can't really comment with any confidence on...
No experiences of contact, of you know... Metaphysical, out of body, near death, you know, psychic mediumship, contact, any kind of validation of.
When I was in my, you know, teens, I went to a mediumship church. up in Albany, New York. It was a lot of fun. So yeah, all kinds of
experiences on those, and that as far as like showing you or validating a belief structure that correlates with consciousness continuing after death of body and mind.
No.
Well.
Yeah.
Well.
Or let's say a ton of them.
Powerful.
But they don't mean anything. They don't imply anything.
They don't?
No.
Hmm.
Yeah. You don't have an experience, let's say, other than the one we imagine we're having right here. You can conjure, right, the past. You can conjure the future. You can conjure realms that might occur or that you might occupy after the death of the body, or even perhaps before the birth of this body.
Hmm, right.
No question about it.
Yeah. Well, even while you're in the body.
Well, maybe that's where, you know, the, what do they call it, pedal hits the metal or the rubber meets the road, which might be right about now. What happens to us prior to birth? What happened to us prior to birth? What happens to us postpartum?
It's all theory.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's sort of an intellectual exercise, isn't it?
Well, you try to rationalize it with our limited intellect of what potentially could make sense to our, you know.
Well, yeah.
Well, so this is this is the discovery.
I mean, it's not that important anyway. I was just throwing it out there as conversation because I was curious.
Oh, it can be fun to talk about.
I would say if there's a discovery worth making, it would be the discovery that this has no implication.
Yeah.
Presently.
Yeah, and I agree. My wife's an atheist and doesn't believe in anything, you know, aside from her body, you know, where she's at this moment.
Yeah. And, well, she believes in a lot then.
Well, she just believes in herself in this moment and whatever.
But even that, though I appreciate we could call it atheism, is a form of absolute religious idolatry. Then it's scientism, materialism.
It's still something.
It's something.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have to turn
Does
it into...
Does anyone not believe in anything, though?
We'd have to canvass a lot of people to see how that, you know, comes up.
Yeah.
I would say that's a neat question because as neat as all your other lovely questions, but that one points, I could say, to the heart of the conundrum of the myth of self. Belief.
Myth of self.
Belief is that you could say it's the genesis point or seed of the myth of self.
Well, why is the self a myth? We have consciousness. We exist. Why is this a myth?
See, again, consciousness and exist is an imposition on something you really have no idea what it is.
It's all fraught with assumptions.
Exist is really strange. Like, okay, I hear you. Exist, no quarrel. But what is the implication of exist? Without belief, without superstition, without implication, exist don't mean shit. And yet, the profundity of exist is still deliciously present. If we withdraw from the mind that tells us stories, lovely stories, and we feel this, whatever that implies, that's not emotional, right? It's not sentimental. It's feeling the texture, the vibratory presentation of being. Done. Exist. It's not relevant, but it's not necessarily irrelevant. You see, as we withdraw from rumination, if we withdraw from association, from belief and superstition, materialism of any and all kinds, religious or otherwise, there's this.
This one?
Hmm?
There's one.
This. just this.
Which is?
You tell me. You see, it can't be objectified. And any word you might assign to it, again, is just, you know, it's a barking noise. It's just a word. The certainty that you have and exist does not come from what you believe about it. Your certainty is, dare I say, transcendent, not dependent upon belief, or language, or comparison, or Genesis myth, or science, or anything. You are absolutely autonomous, and the confidence that you have that this, say, exists is an autonomous revelation without implication. Everything else is a story told.
So the universal truths are out the window.
Well, yes, yes and no. I mean, here's the universal truth. It's in your face. You feel like jumping out a window? You may. But universal, yeah, right, right. Universal truths as presumptions.
But even this is a belief.
And what is?
What you just.
No, it's not a belief. Really, it's not.
How would I explain?
It's not a belief. I'm not believing in anything right now. I'm looking, with your kind permission, at the nature of a consciousness, a metaphorically inspired consciousness that believes shit. And saying or asking, what are we then if that's not functioning? I'm not saying what it is. I'm not telling you what it is. I can't.
But what do you think it is?
Why objectify it?
Yeah.
Why turn it into another story?
It would then be another belief system. And it takes you right around to the beginning of the
Seattle.
I mean, that's what everybody says.
So tell me, I mean, if I'm running a belief on you, you know, let me know. I'll try to squirrel out of it any way I can.
Yeah.
I'm asking. These are questions you could say aimed at hanging, chilling out, loitering in the midst of this already present and prescient consciousness or existence, but not assigning anything to it.
Judgment.
No judgment, no belief, no superstition. Not the one of the...
A void, then.
Well, even void is an idea, because this is...
Something.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you play with the Buddhist idea of, you know, form is emptiness, emptiness is form, there wasn't a lot of emphasis placed on so-called void. Void becomes another idea.
Hmm.
Yeah. And yet, maybe that in the midst of this beautiful demonstration, profoundly incredible, speechless, genocidally bananas demonstration, this is emptiness. This is nothing at all, masquerading as something through implication. The emptiness or the void is no place other than here, this. This is it. If the mind doesn't stitch, meaning try to bring the past to the present and the present to the future, if there's no stitching, if there's no, call it, mental temporality, this is emptiness. This is nothing at all.
Well, you're letting go of then fear, drama, jealousy, all those negative emotions.
I'm so sorry. Yes.
And hope.
But they can.
Yes. Absolutely, because if there's a organic, not imposed.
Well, let me ask you this.
Quiescence. If there's an organic quiescence of self, then all of the accoutrements of our suffering and all of the accoutrements of the relief of that suffering are flatlined.
Yeah.
On tap, but not essential.
What about the what about the belief of co-creation and thoughts having power and building your own reality?
Yes. Yeah, I love it. I mean, again, I think it's a very plausible poetry. But again,
poetry?
Yeah.
Is it something that is...
No, it has no implication, because that would suggest this is something. You see?
But you don't think thoughts have some kind of power or meaning in manipulating this reality?
No, I think they're symptomatic.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. That's big.
Well, the other thing is big, too. They're both big.
Yeah, but that's bigger.
Go with bigger. This is America.
Yeah.
It's not Texas, but it is America.
So,
mm-hmm.
In this moment, in this void, or not void, but in this non-being or non-duality, however you want to.
I'm with you.
You don't even have to explain.
I'm with you. Yep.
In
this
space.
Yep. Yep.
I
hear you. Yeah. I mean, it's fun. It's fun to feel this and realize that anything we try to say about it that implies coordinates is a fallacy.
Yeah, I get it. I'm on board with
I hear you.
Logic. But let's go with how we conduct moment to moment.
Yes.
This moment.
Yes.
With positivity, negativity, fear-based, love-based.
Yeah.
These.
Yeah. Right.
No boundaries or no implications of that?
No. No. Why should there be?
I don't know. I'm asking the question.
Yeah. I don't think so. Again, I think those are...
No.
Those occur. I'm not going to... it would be silly to deny those right out of hand. Right? But you can see that they occur within the context of some kind of belief system, that this is about something. That's when they have relevance, that this is about something, and that I better get my shit together as soon as possible so that I can, right, like the Course says, go with love, not with fear, in miracles.
Is that something you say?
Me? No, I don't like it. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Dave.
No, I'm not fond of it.
Wow.
Myself, but other people have found it to be of meaningful value.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So if freedom is not something that you or I are ever going to enjoy in our future, because there is none.
That's all freedom.
Then
there's nothing but freedom.
Okay.
Because there's no constraints. There's no judgment. There's no limitation.
Okay.
Because there's no past. There's no future. There's only this moment of pure bliss.
Okay. Sign me up. I'm coming to your workshop.
So if we choose to...
Yeah, it's not choose. It can't be choose.
You can't be?
No, because there's no agency.
Hmm. That's a self that does the choosing.
Yeah. No, we're going full circle again.
Yeah, a self imagines it chooses through comparison, through duality,
right.
Through implication.
Right. But you're talking non-duality.
I guess.
Not even. It's beyond non-duality.
Let's hope so, because those fuckers piss me off.
Non-duality fuckers?
Yeah.
Wow, a lot of these guys piss me off.
Well, everyone pisses me off. It's just a charade. Don't take me that seriously.
I don't take anything too seriously.
Thank you. Yeah. It's a charade.
Well, it all is, anyway.
Yes. Yeah. You see, the thing is...
Is it a grand illusion?
Well...
Would you go with that?
No, you're saying too much.
Just with that, as a grand illusion.
Yeah, grand illusion is saying too much.
Yeah.
Isn't it always so-called what it is, and is not waiting for us to make some commentary? It's not saying, hey, you guys, I really don't know what I am. Help me out. Tell me what I am. Well, you're a grand illusion. Oh, now I feel better.
You're love.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Pure divinity. Love.
Fair enough.
Pure divine.
Yep, crank it up. I'm with you.
I mean, it seems to me you can structure your life with whatever beliefs, and everybody does that. You know, I mean, everybody structures their life. They act as if certain beliefs
pretzels?
Are true. You know, they, so, I mean, that's just typical, you know. But this is an opportunity to just drop all that, you know, and then what's left? I mean, if you drop beliefs, assumptions, and that sort of thing, I mean, what's left? And that's a pretty pure thing, you know. That's not...
I'm not questioning that.
He's a card-carrying dropper. You drop everything. Right? You drop everything to arrive at the pristine nature of this that is nothing at all. Or not.
It's everything and nothing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, we do try to humanize everything, it seems to me. It's just that's what being human is all about.
Yeah, but from a functional perspective in our culture and our society and in the day-to-day life, I mean, there's certain assumptions that almost have to be drawn. But
well, of course. I mean, you know,
I don't know.
Maslow's...
You don't
have I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I would say you, not to single you out, us, all of us, 7-point-something billion, though I haven't counted recently,
yeah.
Right, are actually functioning with non-volitional spontaneity. And they're and
robotically going through the motions of the daily tasks. Of
well, it's not robotic because each moment is an explosion of novelty. It's only robotic if we're not paying attention.
Well,
if we're paying attention,
which is the bulk of
okay.
humanity.
Okay, yes. So let's say...
Not that I'm judging that, it's just an observation.
I hear you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so let's say that we don't really need to possess or to exercise some kind of practicality at the level of belief in order for us to function. Everything is perhaps autonomously appearing without agency, without volition. As in right now. You are...
Well, we need food, clothing...
And we get it or we don't. I mean, we're predatory. There's no question about that. And predatory with the so-called, you know, neocortex and opposable thumb. And we're back to that crisis. If we don't fucking wake up, we're fucking dead. Right? But even that is, you know, kind of a poetry. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I'm not insisting.
No.
But you can see that drawing from our past has to be confused, not because we're not trying our best, but because it's, right, it's virtual, it's not actual.
Right.
Drawing from our present has a little more vitality, because if anything is so, well, it's probably kind of so like right about now.
Yeah.
Okay. Couldn't you say that your present experience is simply present, autonomously, with no effort whatsoever, and that you are not functioning by virtue of belief or superstition or choice? Presently.
In this moment, yeah.
Okay. So, if it's so, for fun, even for fun, presently, then I could argue that it was... always that way, but we recall it through a different filter. You're always functioning autonomously, non-volitionally, as, call it, light and motion. But thought and reporting, news reporting, right, through the filters of comparison or duality, make it look like I made a bunch of decisions. Think of all the decisions you made. Think of all the decisions you made in your life, the good ones and the so-called not good ones, the mistakes. All the suffering that you've done, all the not suffering that you've done, right? Everything that's happened in the beauty that we refer to as you, and where has it brought you?
Here.
Yeah, right. At the time, it might have appeared like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, or hallelujah, 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 but it's all fucking gone.
I'm on board with that.
Sweet. Yeah. And the implication, if there is one,
how important was any of it?
Well put. How important was any of it?
Well, how important is it?
That's right. So to get back to your point of whether we require any kind of agreements or a conditioning or belief system or strategies to function in our day-to-day lives,
right.
I would suggest, no, we don't. We actually function quite autonomously.
Well, put that to the test.
Fair enough. Rock and roll. Yeah, it's fun to play with. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, what would surrender look like? It would be like, you know.
Surrender to win.
To?
Win.
Surrender to win. Yeah, I know. Too often it looks like that. That's right.
Irony.
It's not winning in music, though.
No. Can't say.
I would think that's the problem.
Oh, think on, yeah.
That's a very difficult place to get to.
Ah, let's blow that myth away.
Yeah, I'm all for it.
First round of reply is, I hear you. Difficult, if not fucking impossible. Yes.
Because it's all colored based on, you know, 50 years of experience, never mind the past life shit.
Yes, thank you. That's
it's
right.
It's also at the cellular DNA level a lot
yes.
of crap.
Yes, all of that.
Like the collective consciousness of the mess humanity
yes.
is.
Yes, yeah. We are such a product of such robust conditioning.
Yes.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right.
Okay. Now, from the point of view of that this is something, right, and that you're the product of conditioning,
yeah.
then yes, it is very difficult to be unhinged from the apparent... I'm looking for a word that it's just not coming. The apparent durability of that conditioning, mm-hmm. right? Let's go back for a moment to this being exactly whatever it is. And hello, you're awake. And no, not difficult at all.
Bit of a short circuit.
Unplugged.
Very well put. Unplugged. Unplugged from the accusation, the self-accusation of the ramifications of your own conditioning. Here you are. You're absolutely unplugged. Now, your conditioning's on tap. I grant you that. Your emotivity, your, you know, the way that you function, what you like and what you don't like, the shadows that you share, the shadows that you don't.
Let's say you're unplugged and you get to that place. What's the benefit? Or what's the...
There's none. There's no benefit. From the creature's point of view, you could say maybe you suffer less. From the creature's point of view.
Less joy. Less love.
Well, it would be too bold for me to comment on that. Those you'll have to discover for yourself. Right? Because if I sit here and say, no, sir, you're mistaken, there's more love, there's more joy. I mean, you know, it's not appropriate. That you have to discover for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that place...
So what is the difference between this philosophy and the power of now? I could totally crap that he puts on. I know you're a fan of that writing.
Well, I mean, with all due respect to, you know, Eckhart and the morphic wave that he has ridden and made quite a nice fortune from,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
He, you could say, renewed in the current culture, current milieu, an interest, a fascination with the thrill of discovery, even including the pain body shit and the power of now and, you know, your life's purpose and all of those monikers. I mean, shortly after the power of now was published, Eckhart Tolle had a calendar. So I think that Eckhart appears to be as awake as anyone can be. How he has chosen to, if he's chosen
to
at all.
To what?
Hmm?
Awakened to what?
Yeah. Awaken is not to what. right? I would say awake is more of a robust resolution of the false, rather than have found a new dimension. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, awake is kind of a you know, potent.
Away.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Unplugging it all. Like,
unplugged.
Like water going down a drain.
Yes. Unplugged.
Becoming an empty vessel.
Yeah. Yes. Which. Of this. Yes. Which suggests awake to whatever this is.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I'm filling in the blanks for you right now. That's good.
Tour with me. I'll be at Panera tomorrow night. Really? Yeah. So, yeah, no, great. Everyone's great. I mean, I love to make fun of all of the gurus and all of the teachers just because it's thrilling to, you know, tear it all down. Why is that? Because this, whatever this is, time out, this, whatever it is, fetishizes and objectifies whatever it appears to know about itself faster than you can say boo.
Yep.
So no matter what Eckhart has done or Ramakrishna has done or Buddha has done or Nirsagadatta has done or all your favorite pals from, you know, everywhere, we can't help but to interpret present experience through the filter of some kind of objectification and some kind of fetish.
Yes.
That's exactly, you could say, the seed, the core of why it might appear to be so difficult to wake up, when indeed it's not.
And wake up, do you heal?
Sure, but no guarantee. Yeah, because Jesus is fucking dead. Well, maybe not. He rose. I don't know where he is these days. I don't. After he rose, I don't get it. But everyone else other than Jesus, right, yeah, is fucking dead. So, yeah, they healed, and then they fucking died. All the people that Jesus healed, where are they? They're dead. So, yeah, you can heal, and then you're going to fucking die. Maybe 2 minutes later, maybe 20 years later.
No,
Frank Zappa had pancreatic cancer and this and that. He went to see some kind of healer.
I'm talking about...
You're healed.
Your awakened state is that healing state.
Well, it's not a state, and everything is of its nature. So, yeah, you're healed. Rock on.
Healed in multidimensional, more multi-layered...
As many dimensions as you can imagine, you're healed there. Yeah.
Now it's like more on mental, emotional.
Yes, absolutely. You could say from the point of view of a creature that has become absolutely overwhelmed with virtuality and shit, as one so-called native intelligence, native sensitivity, feels this and is nourished by this, that crap healed.
Yeah, because you just unplugged, because you just let everything go down the drain.
Yeah, but you can
see nothing there.
Yes, but again, you don't necessarily become some kind of, you know, idealized, saintly behaving person. You're still the, you know, the curmudgeonly, you know, obnoxious jerk, I'm talking about myself, that you've always been, right? But you don't give a fuck anymore. You could say you're acting out less. You're acting in less, you know, because you look at a blade of grass and you go, fuck. And that happens, you could say, more often throughout the rhythm of your day. Right? Geometry, sound, love, presence, right? Imagination, anger, everything pours through and you're like, this is great! In a quiet way. Or in an out loud way. That's cool too. It's interesting, you know, we look for some kind of favorable accoutrement to occur if something spiritual goes our way, right?
Yeah.
But you see, that's turning us into something.
That's an expectation.
Yes. You create again. Agency, creature, time, comparison.
You're going into the same cycle.
You're back in the cycle.
Yeah.
So like when our friend Lisa...
desire of not...
That's right.
Enough,
that's right.
To do this and that. And if you don't, you're not going to be there.
You zip right back into the imagination of objectification and time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, I'll catch on pretty quick.
I could tell the moment you walked in, you were a quick study.
Thank you.
Yeah. At least I could say that now, and it looks true.
Most for sure.
Good luck.
Yeah. No, that's heavy thing shit.
As a suffering creature, as
really,
a suffering
I really like it.
I'm glad. As a suffering creature, we can appreciate.
Thinking like you?
I don't know. As a suffering, let me finish. As a suffering creature, we look for amelioration.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of organic. That's biologic. I mean, that makes perfect fucking sense. But we're not. But it turns out we're not a creature. So then, as whatever it is we're talking about starts to sink in, the motives that we had yesterday for something to be better, the motives are gone. So now the deliverable is gone as well.
Yeah, I was having a lot of problems with hope for a while.
Hope can mess with your head.
I think it's a distraction.
Hope is time.
Fuck hope.
Fuck hope.
Yeah. We have t-shirts in the back.
Let's
say fuck hope. Yeah.
Spiritual friends, you know, that are so-called on their shit.
It's always future.
You think because then it's distraction from enjoying the moment or being in this moment or like not being in this moment.
Yeah, that's right.
You're singing to the choir.
So you look.
Or you're singing to whoever.
If you go to kind of a rudimentary observation, let's call that consciousness. Something's happening. Yeah. Consciousness, awareness, right? Presence.
Right.
As we chill out in the recognition of this without story, you could say you're bathed in freedom from implication, freedom from consciousness itself. It's a little weird, but see, consciousness itself is not even binding. And yet this persists.
So who else thinks along these lines?
He does. She might. Huh?
Because I haven't heard this philosophy, lack of.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
It's hard to write about, but he does a lot of writing, so you should check it out.
Oh, all right.
But it's not...
It's alive and well in Doylestown.
I think it's fairly... novel.
It's been around as long as the hills have.
For me, it's kind of like what Buddha was trying to say, and about all, or any number of teachers.
He said it most poetically, most profoundly. It's just that the way that the Buddhism has been taught, again, suffers from that objectification and fetishizing of something that was otherwise revelatory without implication. Right? Yeah, then it goes into dogma and practice and,
rituals and all this crap.
Yes, right. Yeah.
And have to work and have to do this, and if you don't, you're going to burn in hell, or this is going to happen.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And if you're monastic, you're not allowed to pee and shower. Jesus Christ.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
No, it gets a little crazy.
Doesn't it? It gets a little crazy. And you could say that whatever that... I draw a line.
Come on.
Whatever mechanism it might be that converts a pristine wonder field into gets a little crazy... You could say is the same reason that we as a species are at some kind of crossroads of like, whoa, right? It's the same mechanism. It's the reflex.
Well, then even experiencing joy and experiencing, this moment or, as this.
Yes.
Is a perception in a sense. Because you're putting a judgment on it as being a good thing or a bad thing.
Once you're putting a judgment on it, then you have frozen an otherwise infinity into a likable or unlikable experience.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're putting water back in.
Yeah.
Right.
I guess my mind and where it goes in trying to digest and comprehend this way of being is what are you giving up?
What have you ever had?
Moments of pure bliss and joy.
Okay.
Well, that's not going to change.
Is it?
What good are those moments of pure bliss and joy that you had prior to now? They're not really that good.
But why not be in that now?
Okay, so, ta-da, you're not giving anything up. You never had anything.
Really, no way.
You're giving up hope, really, you're giving up all kinds of shit you could say.
Could be.
But it doesn't have any value anymore.
What have you ever actually...
None of it really does.
What have you ever actually possessed? Nothing. And anything that you recall...
Well, sanity.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Jury's out on that. And no matter, and again, no matter
rebuilding, right?
No matter what it was that you or any of us may have possessed in the so-called past, whether it was joy or something less than joy, we're here. This, whatever this is the only interface point we've ever had or will ever have. For, call it whatever you want to call it.
No matter what.
That's right, no matter what happens.
After death of the body and mind.
Doesn't matter.
What happened in previous lives.
Doesn't matter. That's right.
Really matter.
No, it does not. No. Uh-uh.
But that conditioning and that imprint is so powerful.
It's as powerful as you make it right now. Yes, trust me. It's as powerful as you make it, and you make that decision now.
Well, I'm feeling pretty good right now, so it's really not bothering me right now.
Not so powerful after all.
No, I just
fuck it.
Fuck it all.
There you go. That's right.
It's kind of like this. in my thoughts, or it's not even my thoughts. Does consciousness animate the body, or does the body animate the consciousness? The consciousness is free to come and go as it pleases, where the body has all these complexes of wants, needs, aspirations, improvements, memories of graduating from various things and being proud of it. But at any instant, consciousness can expand and go, that's a tiny point in a sea, you know, and I'm so invested in Dave, you know, and my accomplishments and where I'm going and what there's plenty of conditioning there, but in an instant it's blown away. As soon as that point expands a little bit, it sees the folly of it. Oh my God, I'm not that point. I mean, but there isn't even a thinker that says, oh my God, I'm not that point.
Does that diminish the value of your life?
It shifts. Something shifts to diminish the value. No, it's just not paying attention like it did. Like this is it. You know, I'm either going to make it or I'm not. It's going to improve or get worse. You know, all that kind of nonsense.
Any story, and I don't mean that in a belittling way. Any story that we tell turns out to be presently appearing conjecture.
My daughter gave me that line when she was 12.
Uh-huh. And you asked her to do or not do something. And
now it's Will's way behind. Yeah. She's always teaching me shit.
Far out.
She's way out there.
Yeah, to bring her.
Let's go to her workshop.
Yeah, Institute. Oh, whatever. Yeah. Full-time job up there, dropped out of college and went there.
Wow.
So, rock on. Yeah. I think that's a new age offspring. Lucky you.
I have no influence on that.
You're right. There is no DNA.
Yeah, there is. Whatever that is, if she is who she is in this moment in time, which is just from an objective, but maybe a invested bystander is pretty impressive.
Right. Well put, yeah.
Well, she challenged all my 3D spiritual friends, the psychics, and me, because I used to have these spiritual gowns.
I love her already.
And they, she said, Dad, it's the same rhetoric bullshit over and over again. It's like, they are the stories they tell themselves. So this is what she was trying to get.
She's
indigo.
She's indigo. Here comes an old soul. Popping out the gems at 12.
A warrior soul.
Oh, yeah. She's dangerous, too, then.
Oh, yeah. Rebel City. You'd love her. If she was, you'd be It might be the first spiritual gathering she actually liked that I was attending or at.
I'm glad we could help. Yeah. I really am. I'm glad we could help.
Yeah. I'll have to take her around this one if she comes to visit. I say, okay, you got to go see my new friends.
Yeah.
4 times a week. It's hard to miss.
Yeah, which is really cool, you know.
So to say what this meeting is about, it's very, very simple.
You already did.
Yeah. In conversation, living our lives temporally, spatially, whatever that looks like, you could say the tendency is for objectification, right? Anecdotal accusation, meaning, implication, right? Stories told. It's interesting, fun, if not nourishing, to be able to hang out without insisting on a story that I need to share with anybody else or convince anybody else of.
Mm-hmm.
Because most often, you know, in our day-to-day hanging out, we're relating, you know, politically, correctly, casually, through business, but typically through story, through one or other form of kind of manipulation, right, for attention or having our way or our creature comforts met or our homeostasis met, stuff like that. And that's biologic. Absolutely. So you can say the fun of this is like, with all of that...
I'm really giving a shit about them.
Yes, right. It's an invitation to relieve yourself, be relieved of the inertia of a, you know, call it false self, of a virtual self.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah. And,
I haven't heard any of this talk before in my life. And I've been around a while.
And to bathe in it.
Hmm.
To really bathe in it. Yeah. And then you discover through repetition, through the fun of it, through the ups and downs of playing around this way, you discover whether you've compromised joy and bliss or whether you've
enhanced,
plugged in. Yeah. It's up to you. Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, some you can make the argument that when you let go and unplug or drain it out,
yeah,
all that shit,
yeah,
goes with it.
Yes.
So, it's just happens anyway because you're not invested in any of the shit anymore.
That's it. Yes. Right.
I mean,
yeah.
That's not trying to do anything. It's just it's a byproduct, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's an effortless observation.
It's an effortless byproduct of just being.
Yes. Right.
Not with that.
We wean ourselves from belief. We wean ourselves off of superstition. We wean ourselves off of causality.
Yeah.
We wean ourselves from implication, from justification, from Genesis.
And I could see why this isn't that popular.
That's why we got a lot of T-shirts still in the closet, the ones that say "fuck hope." Yeah, they're hard to sell.
Yeah, not a lot of deliverables. No takeaway here.
Yeah. It's very interesting.
Because, you know, it breaks down everything. You're coming here with something, and you're leaving with no prisoners.
Yeah.
You would, pretzels.
Yeah, at least there's pretzels and tea. Yeah, you get something.
Yeah.
I mean,
you get a lot.
It's a fun...
Because you get nothing.
It's a fun observation. We could say that Eckhart Tolle, through books and workshops and speaking engagements and Oprah Winfrey and Eckhart TV,
right,
is doing the same as whatever this is. Wildly popular.
Mm.
Jim Carrey's enlightened.
Right.
So something's got to be happening. So I'm not sure if what we're doing in a very casual way is the same as what he's doing, or why you would suggest, and I appreciate your instinct, that this is unpopular, while what he's doing is popular as fuck. So I'm not sure where to go with it.
No, you don't mind, because this is at the next level.
Huh.
This is taking it to a different level.
It's more intimate when we hang out this close and feel each other and listen to each other and dismantle each other for the fun of it than dealing with, you know, a master, right, on a chair addressing an entire audience where a certain kind of intimacy is a little more difficult to come by.
Well, that setting in itself is set up then to, you know, hierarchy and
yes.
and levels and
yes.
everything else and workbooks and all
yeah.
this other shit.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Know, just by being in that audience, you're fucked.
You're already fucked.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's right.
I hear that.
Yeah.
I don't pay for any of that shit.
Rock on. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I don't go with the gurus too much.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we meet 4 times a week to have this kind of conversation, and the only time we chip in is when we're here at Pebble, you know, because of the use of the space. But otherwise, we meet at a restaurant or,
really?
Here and there. And
oh, really?
So this is painfully free,
mm-hmm.
freely painful.
Thank you. Wow, it's interesting how I stumbled in here.
You stumbled in.
Wow. My other 2 meetups got canceled, and I had to go to the bathroom, so I saw some cars in the lot, and I figured, oh, I could go in there.
Talk about random, huh?
Oh, totally.
I think you're in a pinball machine, and someone just, a flipper just hit you.
No, just, you know, go with the moment. Like, you know.
Well, it's a
popped in.
Testament to your own innate elasticity, sir.
Open-mindedness is fortunately something I haven't lost yet.
Yeah.
When I walked in, I thought you were channeling something, which was really interesting because you're very articulate. And I was like, oh, wow, this dude's got something going on. And I said, he might be channeling from like an archangel or some
yeah.
shit like that.
Yeah.
Miller Rape. But
yeah. Definitely.
That's not the case.
Archangel Beelzebub.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting and beautiful at the same time.
Isn't whatever this is channeling all the time, nonstop?
Yeah.
So if we end up appearing to be overconfident, like I might, unearned, by the way, or a little more lucid, I would argue that gift is an organic consequence of withdrawing from belief, withdrawing from superstition.
Yeah. Positive effect.
Yes, your native intelligence.
Byproduct.
Yeah, absolutely.
The letting go.
Your native intelligence and your capacity for free association and dreaming and visualization are, you could say, enhanced when we are not right under the labor of belief and superstition.
Right, yeah, that dominates thought process.
Thank you so much. So the culture that is in trouble is dominated by that.
Yes.
And if we want to respond to it for religious purposes, for political purposes, for spiritual purposes, then our invitation is to dream.
Mm. Imagine.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
And no limitations.
No. No.
Mm. Pretty cool.
Yep.
Well, I got no questions. I got no answers now.
You're done.
I'm done.
Yeah.
Is that taped? Is that what you're doing?
This is live.
Oh.
Yeah. This is YouTube. No one's watching, so don't worry about it.
Oh, I don't care.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
But
my days of influencing others are well. I wrote the book.
You
I went on YouTube.
Are
I did it all.
Absolutely blessed.
And now it's like, what am I doing? It's not necessary.
Yeah.
Let everybody have their own journey and discover what they need to and their timing and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my place.
No.
To show, teach, preach anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so glad when someone pointed out that I was not Dwal Cool or Saint Germain or someone of that ilk.
What a relief, huh?
It was a big relief. You mean I'm not? No. Oh, good. I mean, in this marketplace, in this, you know, kind of Bucks County thing, there's a ton of, you know, angel stuff and medium stuff and readings and you know, on and on and on and on.
It's a vortex.
It's an absolute vortex.
Yeah. And you can't.
People flock to these kinds of you know, entertainments, and I don't mean that in a belittling manner. You know, everything is nourishing to someone at some point on their trajectory.
Yeah, whatever you need at the moment.
Yeah, and the problem or the difficulty that I see is, as long as we continue to feed the myth of self, the idea of self, through some kind of amelioration or outside agency, then that suffering that we would really like to be done with does not abate.
Yeah. Continues.
Yeah, it just continues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're attached, you're invested, you're working, you're,
yes.
you're pressuring yourself.
That's
you've
right.
Got this,
that's right.
You know, whip on your back, and you know, all yes. the time, because it's like, oh, I need to be better. Ooh,
yeah.
I need to ascend.
And
ooh, I need to increase my vibration. I'm not increasing my vibration.
And that's self.
Oh, I'm not going to ascend then. What the fuck is ascending to what?
That's right.
I mean, we're here for a reason. Just enjoy the shit out of it. Right, buddy?
Yeah.
See, we're on the same raft.
I'm coming to your workshop. I'll set up the mics.
No workshops for me. I'm done with that. Now that I'm here, I mean, I got...
Yeah. He's got things like slacker yoga. That's true, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Earlier.
It's good for flexibility. It's good exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got to bring my daughter to one of these meetings. Get the shit out of this. Yeah, there's a ton of them around here. I've been going because I just moved here.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, a few months ago, I was like, wow, what's it called? This neat kind of...
I think when the meetups started happening, it...
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't know, 10 years ago, there was nothing. I mean, maybe 15. Time goes so fast, you know. But, I mean, it seems like they went from looking and not finding anything.
Every night.
To now, it's like, just too prolific. I mean, it's just too much.
Well,
and because it
there's,
doesn't get...
There's three, four centers around here, too, that have something going every night.
Yeah.
But do all roads lead to the same destination anyway? Or maybe there is no destination. I mean, eventually everybody's going to get there anyway.
Well, on how many lifetimes?
We're here. We've arrived.
How many lifetimes? You got a leaf going on there.
Okay.
Here's a fun little plaything.
On the playground.
So whatever this is or isn't, you could refer to as a creation event. It doesn't have any duration because no moment lasts. It's a streaming, right?
Mm-hmm.
Creation event. The suffering occurs because we stitch together this profundity of creation events and thinking that we really did occupy a past and that we're likely to occupy a future. And so bracing and separation accompanies that mindset. If the creation event, which is clearly nonstop, though it has no duration, doesn't actually create anything, and I'm talking about the Big Bang and the Great Turtle and the 6 days that God worked on the entirety, didn't actually create anything. So the entirety of a universe that we can perceive through call it the naked eye, or the telescopic eye, or the microscopic eye, is merely just the present infinity that doesn't actually exist as a secular universe. It's just implied. And yet it's refreshed from non-lasting moment to moment, because we can send probes out into so-called space that take quite a long time to get where we'd like them to go, and then broadcast back more granularity for us to enjoy on the receiving end. So it might look like, yeah, Big Bang, 6 days of God, Great Turtle, go where you want. This was created. Maybe not. Maybe all that there is just the creation event, but it doesn't actually create anything. And that's where you could look into the conundrum or the paradox of this actually isn't anything. It just implies to itself that it is. So where's the freedom now? It's no longer behavioral. It's no longer corporeal. It's no longer the relief of my suffering. You could say any ideation, any objectification, just boils off. Because this hasn't actually created anything. We just continue to be streaming, call it forward, in the glorious embrace of a creation event.
No, we can ignore him, isn't it?
That's right. And it's not actually occupiable. It only looks like it is.
Hmm. And so are we, then.
That's right. Yeah. These burdens, this conditioning, right?
Yep.
The power of that conditioning and those burdens, they can simply evaporate. With, again, with no effort, with no resolution. All we have is instantaneous. Hmm. We don't have anything other than instantaneous.
Yeah.
That's right. So if we continue to subscribe on the dotted line to the burden of the conditioning, then that's instantaneous. The release, whatever that might imply, from the myth of all that burden is likewise, bada boom, instantaneous. So healing and confusion and a trajectory of a life that looks like suffering and maybe less suffering and maybe at some point, you know,
enlightenment
and joy appears to occur. But where the rubber hits the road is like right about you, right about now, right about here. But it's not a now, and it's not a here, and there's not even a you.
That's what I mean by the next level.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which is unpopular.
It can be.
Yeah.
It has kind of proven to be.
Yeah, right.
It's not, no. I mean, it's not... It's not understood, or it's not appreciated. It's
not time you got, Jamie?
A little after 9.
Oh, I gotta go.
Yep,
9 if we want to. Well, 50%. That was one of the most interesting groups I've ever sat in. And thank you for facilitating.
You're very kind.
Oh, that's just pretty amazing that you happen to be cruising by.
Is this for you?
No, this goes to the church. I don't take any money.
You don't take money?
No.
But you're the moderator, right? I mean, you're the...
I'm just the moderator.
I guess you gotta...
Does anybody have to change it for 20? Because I think 20 is a little overzealous.
I do.
I mean, no offense to the church, but...
Yeah, really.
I didn't have a change. Perfect. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I wanted to put something in there.
Yeah.
Because I got a lot of... Well, I got nothing.
The church thanks you.
Actually, I got some serious validation over a few things.
Okay. I'll put in more. It'd be a pleasure to see you again.
What's your name?
Hi, I'm Ken.
Denise.
Hi, Denise.
Pat.
Hi, Pat.
Hi, Ken.
Yes. Dave. Dave. Please sit down. Sir?
I'm Jeff.
Jeff? No. Beautiful stuff, buddy.
Thanks for walking in.
Thanks for being here.
We were waiting for you.
I was waiting for me.
Yep.
Man, that's a lot to digest there.
Don't bother.
Yeah.
But then again.